welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry, proudly sponsored by Battleborn Tree Service, for hunters, by hunters. We have got a long list of stuff to get to today. Man, wildfires going on, the commission meeting that just happened, mapping apps, good grief. Oh, reading the wind stuff. I got some questions about an Instagram post I made. Big deer hitting the dirt right now. Bulls starting to rub loose velvet all over the map this weekend.
Oh, yeah. But it's exciting.
It is exciting. I love this time of year. And finally, I had to put on a hooded sweatshirt the other day at like 5 o'clock in my driveway. We are finally starting to climb down out of the hundreds. Hey, it's that time of year. Dave, let's start with the Wildlife Commission that you were just at. There's some fencing issues going on, all the emerging technology stuff. Where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, we can start with some of the emerging technology stuff. You know, Okay. That is, some of it's been tabled to be discussed at a future meeting. It does look like some of that stuff is probably not going to go too far, like the thermal imaging. I don't see that going far, and I don't see the archery,
bow sight thing going
that far as well. I think those are going to stay as is, as the regs. That's just my opinion from what I've heard and listened through the discussions, but I think they're going to leave that as written.
Now, the electronics on bow sights, I want to ask you about, how is it currently written? What can you use and not use, basically?
How the regs are set up is you can't have any type of electronics or anything, any kind of magnification on your sight. So you can't have a lens in there and any kind of electronics.
Okay, when they say electronics, like, and here's why I'm asking. So if I were to take, you know, the scope I shoot for like target archery stuff, if I were to take the lens out of that, but I used that ETAC light.
Yeah, I don't. You can't use that. Cannot use that. That's considered electronic. Having an electron, that little device that lights up your pins or your pin. I'm gonna have to dig a little deeper into the reg, but from what I understand, anything kind of electronic that is on your site is a no-no.
It wasn't because of the reg. It was just simply I didn't like the way it stuck out from my site.
Yeah.
But I have one of those. I believe it's a Viper light. It's a little, looks like maybe a third of a chapstick thing.
Yeah.
And it screws into the side of my, and it's a light.
Yeah. They have like, it's like a hearing aid battery kind of runs it stuff. Yeah. So
I didn't have mine on just because it sticks out weirdly from that spot hog sight.
Yeah,
and I was like, man,
weird.
I don't need this thing.
And if, you know, it's one of those things, I don't know if it's in the context of, well, we don't want people turning that light on after legal shooting light so that they can see their pins and take questionable shots.
Yeah, okay.
So if there's enough sunlight out, then you should be able to use your fiber optics just fine without having to turn a light on. If you're having to turn a light on, you may be shooting at not a good time, not a legal time if you're having to turn on your electronic lights. So, I mean, and that's just my two cents coming into it.
How
I understand it. And that makes sense. You know, because there have been a few times I'm like, man, I am so close to not shooting light. And then I'll draw my bow and look through. I'm like, yeah, I can't see jack squat.
I'm out of here.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not shooting anything.
So I'm the opposite. I actually like those lights more in bright sunlight because of the sights I shoot. I shoot those spot hog, whatever the heck it is now, doesn't matter, but a spot hog sight. And man, it is so dang bright in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
I usually use electrical tape and then I use the light, like at outdoor shoots, I use the light to control my pins.
Yeah. Cause like our E-lights,
the Elvish tech. Yes. Yeah.
You can adjust the light from zero to like 15 or 20 or something. It gets crazy, stupid ninja bright.
And I just block all the wraps of the
fiber optics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do the same for when I'm shooting tournament because, there's times where my pins have different sizes. I'll have a 2.9 for 20 yards and it goes all the way down to a 0.10.
Oh, mine are all 0.19. Yeah.
So then mine, like 80 yard pin and stuff, that's 0.10, like really tiny.
That's.
So it's nice to have some light on that because you can barely see it. But at 80 yards, your pin's not completely covering the entire animal. And it looks like an animal's head with a glow stick on its rest of its body.
Yes.
So you can see it. That's where the E-lights come in nice. Not for hunting.
Not for hunting.
Yeah, so that's where that one went. And then the next big topic that kind of came up was the trespass. So
You said this is a huge issue.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Nevada Cattlemen's Association had a representative there to provide a presentation, did a fantastic job on the presentation, showed a lot of evidence of fences being destroyed so that not only just hunters, recreationalists, people going out and exploring the hills in their UTVs and stuff, but they were showing a lot of evidence where it was posted, no trespassing, and these individuals either had a saw or chains and literally ripped gates off posts or ripped the posts down. There's one where they actually have a video
of someone doing that?
Someone doing it to retrieve their animal, and instead of going over the fence, dragging their animal back to the BLM or to the federal...
Wherever they shot it. Yeah,
exactly. And then they were lazy enough to where like, well, I don't want to drive 100 yards. So they ripped the dude's fence off, like the big green fence. I mean, folded it in half.
Things?
Yeah.
Oh.
Folded it in half and then drove through, picked up their animal, which was, I don't know, didn't look like it was very far, and then drove it back over the fence. I mean...
Man, when you and I talked on the phone right after the meeting about this stuff, I took it a whole different direction. When we were chatting about it, I thought you were talking about everybody's seen them where it's not posted, no trespassing. And even on X, it'll show up as like public land, but there's a fence. And what that is those BLM permits to run cattle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They'll fence it. I thought it was a situation like that where somebody was like, why is this fence here? This is public land. I'm tearing this fence out of here.
Yeah, no, because 90% of those have a sign that says just close gate behind you.
Yeah.
Which most of us do. This is actual like Joe Schmo's ranch trust land. Like they own it. And that's the issue. It's just the land that's actually owned by, it'd be like going to 221 and pulling down Cave Valley Ranch's fencing.
Gotcha.
Because you want to go hunt their property. That you can't do that. They own it.
Yeah.
Legitimate. It's like someone coming to your house and just walking in and saying, nah, we're cool. It's a trespass thing. So their big issue was that the cost. I mean, these are ranchers and farmers. It's just because they own a whole bunch of land doesn't mean that they're rich and they got money pouring out of their ears.
Right.
They've got to go in and now they got to replace all of that. They got time. They've got energy. They've got staff.
Yeah,
it becomes a humongous burden upon them to now have to fix you being an idiot, cutting fence, using bolt cutters to cut the chains off of the fences, just all kinds of just ridiculousness. And it's totally
where is this going
for.
On mostly the eastern part of the state?
They were from the presentation. It was pretty much all over the state.
Good grief. Okay.
All over this, all these ranches that are out there. So they're asking for some tighter restrictions and like loss of like getting demerit points on your licenses, which you get a certain amount of those and you got to take hunter safety again and you lose your right to hunt for anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And it can become quite an issue.
I think it's 12,
issue.
Isn't it?
12.
Once you hit 12.
Once you hit 12, yeah.
You're going to timeout for a minute.
Yeah, you're going to timeout. And that's kind of like with the cameras.
Oh, that's right.
That was passed. That did move forward was the 12 demerits if your cameras are up beyond August 1st.
Okay.
So, yeah, you think you're going to be sneaky and leave it out there. You're taking a risk of losing your hunting rights for 3 to 5 years and 12 demerit points. So
I got to imagine that is targeting guide services, not necessarily the layman that's out there that maybe has a camera on one spring and...
It's not really discussed on who it's targeting. It's just one of those things where that's one of the sticky points that needs to be discussed was, okay, so Joe Schmo sub guide.
Right.
Put his cameras out there, but he's a sub guide for a master guide. Now, who gets in trouble?
Yeah.
Does the master guide? Because in the past, the master guide was kind of like free and clear. So there's a lot of discussion saying no. I mean, if that person's sub guide is working for Joe Schmo Master Guide, then the Master Guide should get some repercussion from...
You're responsible for your staff.
You're responsible for your staff.
Right.
You know, that kind of a thing. So there's still conversation going on how that's going to play out and how that's going to be possibly regulated or monitored, that kind of a thing. So there's some really good conversation.
But that looks like it's going to pass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, definitely. Again, doesn't really, I'm not a big camera guy, so it doesn't really affect me that much. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly, like we've talked about, they might be heading that way of just getting rid of cameras. And this is the initial.
It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. They definitely, so yeah.
Yeah, we'll dig into that a little bit.
Oh, there'll be a lot more discussion moving forward with that. But the commission meeting was really well done, well received, great content, great presentations. We'll just keep everyone posted as these things continue to come up and hot topics come up, because we'll need the support of hunters and outdoorsmen, men and women, to keep us out there, especially on our federal land, our land.
Our land, exactly. Yeah. So. Hey, do not go anywhere. When we come back, we'll deal with one more hot topic going on right now, and we'll get into a little bit of fire stuff and maybe even some new mapping software. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight. And like I mentioned last show, man, I think they're on their third revision now. They've partnered with HS Precision Stocks, so it weighs a little more, but it's a much more stable stock. Cool looking things. In fact, I think my dad's going to pick one up here shortly, but go check them out, LegacySportsInternational.com. Now we're going to jump right back into it. Over the break, I told Dave I wanted to grind on the thermal imaging thing for a second. Here is my chief complaint. I have zero issues with the state of Nevada saying essentially, hey, you cannot use these for the take of game. Look, I get that. Yeah, finding elk herds at night, seeing the heat signature on a hillside or whatever. Yeah, that kind of seems like cheating in my book. However, I always thought it was a good idea, and especially when you're talking about like wasting game animals. Let's say you make an imperfect shot on a buck or a cow, whatever. You shoot an animal. It's not the best shot in the world, but you're like pretty sure it's fatal. At that point, I'm kind of like, a thermal imaging thing, if it runs down in some deep canyon, and you're using it to recover game,
find a blood trail or something.
Yeah. I kind of look at that as like, man, that's a valid use and prevents waste of an animal. I'm totally okay with them being used for that. But I also see, and this is, I think, government as a whole, right? Regulations are always written for the lowest common denominator among us.
Pretty much.
The problem is, if you've got a guy out there and he's got one in his pack, it's like, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just going to use it if I arrow something.
Right.
Well, you got to take him at his word that it's not coming out before that. So I get why the regulation exists. However, I do see that other side of it. If you increase your harvest rate, instead of somebody looking for 2 days, not finding a deer or whatever and going, oh, he probably got away and lived, I'm going to try to keep hunting or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of look at it as like, well, if that lessens that, then hey, this is a good thing. We should support it. But that's Henry Evans. That's my two cents on thermal stuff.
I mean, that's a great approach to it. The devil's advocate on that is a lot of these regulations are based on, like we were saying, that lowest common denominator, those individuals that take advantage of the situation and use it improperly, use it beyond what the regulations allow you to use it for.
And you know they would.
Oh, God. Oh, all day long. All day long. It's just like the people ripping fences down. Most of us, like you and I, have been out in the field a ton. We come across a fence line that says no trespassing, no hunting. We're like, all right.
Yep.
And we move on.
Go find somewhere else.
Where you've got that
lowest common denominator
group that says, oh, yeah, watch this.
Right.
And they end up ripping fence down.
So ruin a good thing for the rest of us.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's the crux of it. It's going to be tough going into the future with the technology in the cell phones now, and every year they're adding 17 more lenses to the back of your phone.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a point in time where your phone is going to be a thermal imaging device.
Right.
And regulating that is going to be tough.
Okay, so you bring up, this is a really good point and something we were talking about earlier. The way it's written by law, you are not allowed to use like radios to communicate. Yeah, hey, this bull's coming out over here. Get over, da-da-da-da-da, right? You're not supposed to do that. How in the hell do you enforce that with cell phones?
Right.
Not all these areas, but a lot of them have cell service.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can... You're not allowed to get on a two-way radio and say, hey, go over here, do this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
How? What's to stop you from making a phone call or sending a text? Hey, go over here and do this, that.
And I've been guilty of the texting thing. I was in a blind many years ago, and my buddy was across the canyon and really thick up behind me, and he was texting me like, hey, you got something coming in from behind you.
Yeah.
You know, be quiet. Don't be rattling around in that thing. You know, don't be moving around. Something might be coming in. And he was right. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. So if we're airing our dirty laundry, I've done the same thing on a deer stalk.
Yeah.
Where I got there and I'm looking, because I take a picture before I go on, and I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, this rock, I'm right here. God dang, man, this thing should be bedded somewhere right
around
here.
Why are there more rocks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I had cell service in that unit, and I sent my buddy watching up on a hillside a text and said, hey, am I in the right spot?
Yeah.
And I got a text back, you know, and he said, yeah, go another 20 yards down the slope. And I was like, looking, oh, there's that rock. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, if Dave's going to admit to it, I'll admit to it too.
You know, I'm okay with it. I've never understood why the radio things, because it's also a safety issue when you're out in the hills and you got a buddy two canyons over and you're like, hey, man, I need some help over here.
Right.
Or, hey, I got an elk down. It's 90 degrees out.
Somebody come help.
Can you get your butt over here and help me get this thing in the shade and processed? I mean, there's a benefit to that.
Oh, agreed. So,
but yeah, again, there's always that other side, but I don't know.
I think it's easy for where I'm coming from. It's that know yourself thing where I'm not using it to poach or to, you know what I mean? Like I kind of look at it as in the spectrum of, okay, these are the tools I have available to me to use to ethically harvest stuff. And even though I always grind on that word, to ethically kill things.
Yeah. I don't see how it's not part of the ethical equipment. It's, no. I don't know.
I'm trying to make sure.
Someone would have to tell me why it wouldn't be okay to use that. Like if you do have a friend on the other side saying, hey, yeah, dude, 40 yards to the left on the other side of that tree, he's still bedded, you know, so.
And I'll use an example real quick. Even if I don't have cell service in a unit, when I hunt with my brother, the beanie we carry is, I forget who makes it, but it's like a blaze orange cap thing. We've got a series of like hand signals worked out to where if one of us is on a stalk, the other can look back up in glass and, you know, we've got a little hand signal for they're up, they're walking, oh, they're down this way, go this way. What's the difference between waving a knit orange cap and just getting a quick text, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And there's my hunting buddy back in the day, same thing. We had hand signals.
Right. Everybody does it.
Everybody. Yeah. It's just like, you know, how you do it. Well, there were times where he's hand signaling me and I can't even see him. He's like, I could see you. Why weren't you doing what I told you? I'm like, I couldn't see you from where I was.
Yeah, bad angle or
no
something.
No idea
what
you were doing.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, but there's goods and bads to it all. That's the radio issue.
Well, let's go fire real quick because I want to save enough time. We're going to do like a deep dive on some of these mapping things. Kudos to you and my dad. I wasn't even aware of some of these new mapping things. And I guess you guys were chatting about it on my hunt. So we'll save time for that stuff. The fire situation right now.
Oh, that's crazy. So the one big fire going on in the state is that Cottonwood fire, which
that
one started when we were out there on your hunt.
Yep. Started getting smoky.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we had, two nights there? It was freaking awesome. We were sitting out at camp having a whiskey.
It's cool,
it's
clear.
Cool, clear. Little thunder bumpers happening here and there, lighting up the sky. It was really cool being out there. Well, the bad part was it started like 7, 8, 9 fires around us.
Yes.
And the one has just gone absolutely bonkers now. It's that Cottonwood Peak fire.
And I believe it jumped the road.
It did.
And so now it's all the way, it's past Bull Run Reservoir at this point.
It's past Bull Run Reservoir. It is across the road. Now it is burning pretty heavily in the, what would that be, the southwest portion of 062.
Yes.
Just below where we were hunting.
Yes.
We have somebody we know that's out there right now. And
you got a text from, and they're rounding up cattle.
Yeah. Yep. They said that they ran into some cowboys up there who were rounding up cattle. And if cowboys are rounding up cattle, it's time for you to pack your camp.
Yes. Get out of there.
That's for sure. But as of right now, this fire is only 4% contained, and it is at 95,000 acres.
Good grief.
95,000 acres and just going gangbusters.
Man, that sucks, too, because that was, what, 2006 or 2007 that area burned?
It was like 6 or 7. Yeah, you're right.
It took a while for everything to come back, but, man, here's the problem. There's a lot of that dead timber still hanging around.
Oh, a lot of jackstraw stuff up there.
If it gets into that, man, it's just going to go off like a bomb through that whole area. And that sucks because the wildlife population in there was awesome.
Yeah, it was just kind of recovering from that particular fire. Like when we made a comment when we were up there hunting how that area every year for you, because you've been in there like the last 4 years, how every year
it's gotten greener and greener.
Significantly different. Like it just keeps doing great. And then the other big fire going on is the Chin Creek fire.
Where's that one at?
That's in 112 up there.
Oh, okay.
In area 112. It's north of Baldy Peak.
Okay.
So that one started over the weekend. That one's getting pretty contained. It's at like 95%.
Okay.
Yeah, that's burned some really nice, really, really nice deer and elk habitat. Pretty much all of it's been deer and elk habitat.
For those of you listening, I always, man, I'll tell you what, if there are cowboys in there rounding up cattle to get them out of there, look, we've all got different risk tolerance levels, but that for me is I gotta go.
Oh, buddy.
I mean, that last we talked about when my brother and I were still up there and everybody else had to get back to town. We hunted in some smoke and it was like, yeah, this is smoky. It sucks. But, you know, we're all right. We'll hunt in it a little bit.
Or yeah, once that smoke comes in and you can't glass 500 yards in front of you.
Probably time to call it.
It's time to call it. But anyone out there right now, if you're holding a 067 or 062 tag, you might want to check this fire out. Yeah, I mean, it's probably burnt right now a third of 067.
Oh,
that upper northeast corner of 067 is pretty much cooked.
Okay.
And then now it's into that big, heavy, steep country in 062, which is going to be tough to fight.
Yeah, cutting especially hand lines that, through there. Man. There's no,
especially with all the down debris that's already in there, all that jackstrawed stuff, man. That's going to be gnarly. So if you guys have elk tags or deer tags in those two areas, again, 067, 062, check where your plan is, what's your plan and where you're planning on hunting, because this fire will affect it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It will. All right, bad news out of the way. Let's take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, if you were just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to the website 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, and all past episodes are available there. We're also on Apple Podcasts. If you want to catch up, just search for Nevada Backcountry on Apple Podcasts. Let's see, Dave, let's go into some of the frustrations. I don't want to say frustrated too much because Onyx was absolutely revolutionary when it popped onto the scene. It was awesome. I could drop pins. The days of that grainy black and white screen on my Garmin GPS little flags everywhere that you didn't. I mean, it completely changed how we hunt and where we hunt.
Yeah, and how we see the landscape.
Yes.
You know, with the 3D image option and everything. But
Now, I guess you and my dad, or my dad, I guess, has been playing with it a bunch.
Yeah.
But it's called Base Map.
Yeah, base map. He brought that up. We were all farting around with our phones and our maps and seeing where you were hiking and chasing cows. And I happened to look over and saw your dad's phone. And I'm like, dude.
What is that?
What is that?
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely crisp pictures. The imagery, the pixels on his, and it was the free version.
Because
he was just testing out because he was debating on if he was going to buy the pro license or not. It was crisp. I mean, it was like compared to what I was using on the mountain there, and I had downloaded the maps and high definition, the whole bit. I was like, dang.
See individual trees.
Awesome. And then it had all of these like compass readings. Like you had this little dial on there that you could move it and you could put our finger on a spring on the hill. And it would tell you how far that was. It's like
give you an azimuth and everything.
Exactly. It was super cool. But after that, I'm like, oh, I'm going to download that for a bit. Researching it, there are so many different backcountry hunting, recreating map apps out there right now. And farting around with at least three of them so far. Boy, they're pretty sweet. So you have Onyx, which is like the original. And then the next big one is the Go Hunt Maps.
Yep, Remy Warren's a big fan of that one.
So, and then you have Hunt Stand, which is another mapping feature.
I used that probably on the East Coast when you were in Ohio.
Yeah,
yep, for Madeline, he had me download that, and that's what they use for everything.
Yeah, because I guess it's a big. It's primarily used for whitetail and Midwest Eastern because it's set up whatever its algorithms are. And then you got base map, the one that your dad was using. Then you have what's called HuntWise is another one. Detail is pretty darn good, and it's that one's more towards the whitetail deer hunters.
Okay.
In relation to land use, land permissions, you could tap on that one, and it'll give you, like, this particular land has a lease, but it's occupied. It gives you like the use of that particular, because there's so much private land in the Midwest and the East Coast. There's very little. They're nothing like Nevada and Wyoming. I mean, everything's private over there. You got to buy a lease or get permission or what have you. And so that particular HuntWise, you can click on it. Like we would here in the state, we'd click on it, tell you
property ownership.
Property
stuff.
Ownership.
Right.
BLM. Most of ours, BLM. That one will tell you Joe Schmo. Lease to Joe Schmo it.
Yeah.
So you know. Okay,
so that's the one we used back east in Ohio. If you tapped on something, it came up with what they call like permissions.
Yes.
And it would say like this outfitting service, this individual's name, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
It had permissions on there.
Yeah, people
I remember
the ones that can hunt that particular property. Yeah. Then you got the Go Hunt Maps, and then you've got the Land ID.
Okay.
Which is another one, and that's strictly used for hunting, and that is nationwide, and that gives you, similar to the HuntWise, but the Land ID, it tells you who owns the land. If they've provided their information, then you can contact for private use or leasing or what have you. But that one's pretty good. It's more of an informational one.
Okay, so much more like a Google Earth type thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
But with ownership on
it. Its primary function is land ownership.
Gotcha.
Like IDing the properties that you're proposing to go hunt.
The one thing when we were looking at all this stuff and I typed in base map, I thought my dad was going to be here to do a segment with us because he wanted to kind of riff on this a little bit. We looked up the base map, and that's their sales pitch or slogan or whatever is guaranteed ownership information. Now, maybe in their algorithm or something, like they are much more rigorous about checking property records or something.
I'd assume they'd have to have something linked into each state's land ownership.
Maybe that's their kind of niche, or that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
I know Onyx, I've never been in a situation where I thought, okay, I'm on private land, or I think I'm on private land, but this says it's public. But I can't think of the instance out there on my hunt where we found that abandoned cabin out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could tell there was an iPad sitting in the bathroom. We walked around it. You could see in the windows. There's an iPad sitting in there, so yeah. Somebody's been in there recently.
Well, you would think, but man, it sure didn't look. I mean, everything was dusty.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
yeah.
I mean, the front walkway was all full of weeds. Nothing was broken down. Like when you walk through weeds, you usually knock a bunch down. They lay over. Yeah. Everything was standing straight up. So I don't know. It was crazy, but yeah.
It was weird. And yeah. It was just public or according to Onyx.
Onyx, yeah. You click it anywhere around that thing. You click the house itself and it was like public. BLM.
Yeah.
BLM.
No ownership.
None. It's just, and that was a good looking cabin.
I know, that was
awesome. It was
I hope that thing survives this fire.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good, I don't know what, 800 square foot cabin, wood burning stove in there, couch.
I got to imagine
kitchen.
It was bigger than that. Yeah.
Yeah, probably the upper loft was beds. Yep. The roof looked relatively new. I bet you the thing hadn't been built more than probably no more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was recent. Remember, yeah, that nice metal roof. And then it had been painted.
Yeah, it had the big propane tank outside.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, this.
Somebody put some work into that for it to be. So here's where I was going with that cabin is I would be interested to see, download the Base Maps app. Because again, their whole pitch is guaranteed ownership information.
Oh, good one.
And check that against Onyx and see, maybe I got to imagine that cabin is like a high camp summer, you know, for the cowboys, basically.
Yeah, maybe.
That when they're running cattle in those, like, Banty Gulch and stuff.
Yeah, way back in that country. Yeah, that's their stopover.
That's their, like, summer cabin. But I'd be interested to see if Base Maps does have property owner information on
that. That would be cool, yeah, because that was a cool cabin.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't, then I'm just planting my flag. That's my new house.
That's my new house, yeah. That's my, that's the doghouse when I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Why do you keep getting yourself in trouble, Henry? Have you seen my cabin?
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was.
Absolutely awesome.
It was awesome.
You know, that's the other thing. Back to the, I'm going to tie all this into the emerging technology thing. You know, all these mapping things, like, I think they're a step in the right direction. They help us hunt better, and I don't see any problems with that. However, we are basically one update away from these things getting caught up in this emerging technology deal. You know, we're already kind of threading the needle on some of the features they've got, but how long until they do tie into your camera system or something? Now, next thing you know, it's like, well, you've got the infrared. You can switch on X to an infrared thing to blood trail or something like that.
Right.
Now, does the state of Nevada regulate the entire mapping software?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's going to get really tough to regulate any of this stuff.
Any of it.
Yeah, with how easy it is. Like, kind of similar topic, there's an app now, or it's being worked on. I saw it on social media that if you have a video of your animal that you're, say you're hunting, you have a camera out and you have video of it, you can download that video of the animal into this software. And as long as the animal moves his antlers around and does that, it can score it for you.
Yeah, we knew that was coming, didn't
we? Yeah. we've talked about it before.
Yeah,
we're like,
we
wait
have.
Till that happens. Well,
yep. Now it's out there.
The phone must have been listening to me because
it always is, Dave.
It always is. I got to watch what I say. But yeah, it popped up this morning like, hey, check this thing out. And I was like,
As long as the animal gives you like
as a long good, as the yeah. animal gives you, you know, a left, a right, a back, and a front. I mean, this thing, this algorithm app, it'll score it for you. And I don't know what its percentage
margin of error
is, but that's cool. If you're a score hunter.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you're a numbers person.
So you and I have talked about that before. Neither of us are big like, it's got to be this, that, or the other thing. But I do like playing that game when I'm out there like, oh, yeah, that's a 330s bull. And I'm kind of looking, and like, we all play that game.
Oh, for
sure. It would
sure.
be kind of cool to be like, I think that was like a 340s bull. Put it in there and see like, no, that is a 328. Like, oh, okay, I missed. I added some inches somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on the other end, like, no, that's a 363. Oh, dang, I underestimated it.
Yeah. I think all of this technology stuff, though, is just making everyone just dumber. You don't have to work for anything anymore, man. You don't have to be out there studying your prey. You don't have to be like, okay, no, the backs are where the score comes up.
Right.
And it's width and this. And now you just use an app.
this is that. I think maybe I was just always a dumb person, but I was assertive enough and loud enough that I could get away with murder, saying whatever I wanted back. And now here's the problem is my kids fact check me.
Oh, so dude.
Like on car rides, I'll be like, no, absolutely not. This is this and that's that. And this is why it is. And if you're loud enough and assertive enough, you used to be able to get away with it. And now I've even got my 11-year-old being like, check that. Well, actually, Dad.
Wikipedia says.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's making me smarter, but it still pisses me off.
It does. It's like, that's it.
Don't
give me
fact
the phone.
Check. Yeah.
Give me the phone. I'm Get paying for here. It. Give it to me.
It's like when your parents used to yell at you for turning on the overhead lights in a car. Like, oh, that's illegal. Don't do that. That's what I'm going to start. No, phones are illegal in the car.
Yeah.
You can't fact check me.
Exactly.
Hey, so we got one more segment coming up on Nevada Backcountry. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry, sponsored by Truck Envy. Reading the wind. So I posted something on Instagram. It was a picture of a cookie tray with a pile of what looked like cotton balls on it. Somebody asked me about that. What that is milkweed seeds. So I always hated those wind checkers that you squeeze. Oh, I didn't hate
the
right?
powder with the yeah. baby powder or something in them.
When it's all you had, it's all you had and that's yeah. all you knew. You'd be going down a canyon after something and it's like, why did I get winded? I squeezed my wind checker before I start, you know, and you're squeezing it along the way. What I figured out over time is those milkweed pods, the seed pods for everybody listening. It's a big, oh, I don't know, maybe like the size of a pickle or so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
Dave's looking at
pickle,
the seal. Small pickle.
Small pickle.
A gherkin.
A gherkin. There you go. A gherkin. So a mini dill.
You can crack those things open when they dry out, and inside are all of the seed pods.
Be careful with those seed pods. When I cracked mine open, man, I couldn't get that stuff.
It went everywhere?
It went everywhere, and then I couldn't get it off me.
Oh, you cracked it open too soon. It was still sticky.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Man, I'm really trying to behave myself, and I'm not going to make any jokes. but when they get dry and they start to crack naturally, pop them off of a milkweed plant, and inside you can take all those white fluffy things. I won't say the name of the product I use, but I'm a big fan of nicotine. And I have cans left over. And what I do is I drill a hole in the top and I stuff it full of those milkweed things. So that is what I posted a picture of. And what I do with those is before I go on a stalk or even sometimes just when I'm goofing around, if you've got enough of a breeze, you can drop it from a ridgeline and you can watch that thing float down through a canyon. And you'll see when it hits thermal pockets and how it'll kind of jig-jog back uphill. Then it'll go back downhill. You can use it to strategically plan a stalk as far as like, okay, when I get to this rock, I need to go this way because the wind's going this way at that point and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you're not just relying on like a little bit of powder that gives you an indication of what the wind's doing at your current location.
Right.
You can see it hundreds of yards away what it's doing. So hopefully that clears that up. I told Dave, Rancho San Rafael, the park over there, man, if you go talk to the park employees, Luke is the guy's name that runs it, you can take the milkweed pods. They got no problem with you doing that.
Oh, nice.
And so what we did years and years ago was Cynthia gathered them all up, brought them home, and now we just plant them at home. So I've got never-ending supply of windicators at my house.
And they're super cool. Yeah, I could... Because we picked a bunch up when we were up on the antelope hunt last year in the apple orchard.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, there's a couple plants. So that's where I got it. That's where I grabbed them.
Cracked it open and too early.
I cracked. The other one was fine. The other one was already pre-cracked as it was. The other one was green. So I'm like, oh, I'll just crack it myself. Boy, when it popped, they shot out of there.
Yep.
That was it, man.
Well, if you do that and you crack them too early, I put them on a cookie sheet and I stick it in the oven at low temp. For like 20 minutes, dries them right out, gets rid of the stickiness.
Or you get pissed off enough and you just throw them in the garbage.
That works too.
Yeah.
Should have thrown them in the ground and grown some, Dave.
I should. Well, I'm sure some got in the ground somewhere, but yeah.
So that's the explanation behind the Instagram post. That's what I use for a windicator. I think it works great. Now let's jump into the quality of deer hitting the dirt right now, Dave.
Man. Oh, yes. Man. you've been seeing the same deer, even some of the antelope that are hitting the ground.
Oh, everything. I
mean, you know, antler growth this year is definitely above average.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
You know, and that's, I've been hearing that from professionals as well, that the antler growth, we had a pretty good winter in several areas, great green up, late rain,
right,
which kept that green up going. I'm assuming some of these areas where you're getting some of these really nice antler growth has fewer feral horses.
Oh, bingo.
You know, but anyway, antler growth has been just spectacular from the pictures,
yes,
we're seeing. The archery shop out there in Elko, little shout out to you guys, the Archers. Love your guys' posts. Man, you guys are putting up all the pictures of the locals and folks that are shooting some really nice antelope and deer right now. Getting to see some of those on your Facebook and
what
your Instagram.
What is it, the Elko Archery Club?
No, it's the new archery shop that's in Elko, in Elko, Nevada.
Not Gun World.
Not Gun World, it's called The Archer.
The Archer.
The Archer.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Super cool. Neat little place. And they're posting up. They have a big buck contest going on right now, and they're showing all the bucks that are coming in and part of the competition and stuff, but they're posting all the kills. I'll tell you, there's some impressive animals coming out of wherever these people are hunting them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's some really, really nice, nice animals, 150s and up,
yeah,
that are just awesome.
My phone's been going off. I've been getting texts and pictures of stuff and going, holy smoke. Normally you see a handful every year that you're like, man, that is a really good buck. And then you get a handful that you're kind of like, that's like your kind of typical 3x3.
What?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a decent deer. I got to tell you, Dave, I have not gotten a picture yet that I wasn't instantly like, oh man, I would do some reckless things to kill a deer like that.
Oh yeah.
That's a great deer.
Yeah. And their body condition looks,
yes,
really nice.
Yeah.
You know, besides them being dead.
Well, the, you know, body condition was nice.
It was nice, yeah, prior to getting ventilated, but you, yeah, know, so that was nice to see too, that they're really good looking body condition as well,
yeah,
as antlers are nice and heavy. So kudos to everyone out there that's getting arrows through animals.
Yes.
Keep those pictures coming. It's awesome. So
I enjoy
seeing
that.
Yeah. We're seeing that too with the elk. Last weekend I was out and saw the elk. A lot of them were already hard horned. Several others had nice cool strips of their velvet hanging off of their,
yeah,
heads, and they're getting pushy. They're starting to push their buddies
you
around.
You said that. Yeah, starting to get their harems together.
Yeah, the hormones are shifting and they're starting to, you know, their buddy they've been hanging out with for the last few months is getting on their nerve and they're like pushing them around, so they're chasing each other a bit.
Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.